Hey, midweek, how's everybody tonight? So glad you're here. All right, so we're continuing our relationship series. If you weren't here last midweek, go back, watch the video. It's a great, great, great tool to help you. And tonight, we've got our lead pastor, Doc, his wife, Sharon, or I like to call them Mom and Dad. They're going to be sharing some of the lessons they've learned in their relationships. And I think one of the most beautiful things, if you've been around people who've been in a relationship for a really long time, it's not just that everything came super easy. It's that they got through the hard times, and they're going to share their story, their faith, and what God did in them and through them in all of these years being married. So enjoy. Hey, everybody. Welcome to CC Midweek. We are so incredibly blessed to be here with you today. We have a very special service. We are in a relationship series, and I thought there was no better way to close it than interviewing my mom and dad, who have been married for 53 years. Mm-hmm. I think one of the blessings of being your kid and leading with you and doing this life together is you get the full picture. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just work or preacher or leader or mom or dad, but it's kind of all of it. Mm-hmm. And I think the gift is that our life has not been perfect. Mm-hmm. Your relationship hasn't been perfect. Mm-hmm. But what you've taught us is what staying power looks like. Mm-hmm. And as we talk today, I think that has been the blessing of my life. And I think what God really can do in a relationship through the long haul, through the tough and through the beauty and all of it, it is a treasure when you can stick together. Mm-hmm. And so if you are listening this, I want you to know that it's not too late. It's wherever you are right now, I want this to be a blessing to you. Yeah. So don't look back with regret or don't look back with what could have been done. I think the hope is how we move forward makes all the difference in our life. And so how are you guys?
Good.
We get to see Dad quite a bit, so it's a treasure to have you up here.
Thank you.
Welcome, thank you. Mama. I wanted to start by asking you, what do you think is one of the biggest misconceptions about your relationship?
I could best answer that by an example. One Sunday after church, a woman came up to me, and she said, "You are so lucky." And I said, "Why is that?" And she said, "Well, you're married to someone almost like God." So that's a bit of a misconception. We're just two people that love God, love each other, but we have the same struggles as everybody else. We've had to learn our way forward and pray our way forward. And
Dad said, "Is that a messenger from heaven to Sharon?"
A little prophecy.
Yeah. And what about you, Dad? What do you think one of the biggest misconceptions is?
Mm-hmm. Somehow or another, we don't face the same. I've actually had people say, "Well, it's different for you." We want to be very plain. We face all of the challenges everybody else faces. We hope in the Lord.
And I think that has been something that you've been able to pass down to us and your grandkids, and that is a generational blessing from God.
Yeah.
You know, as I think about your 50 years together, there's a lot to be grateful for. Yeah. What would you say you are most grateful for from God for these past 50 years?
I would say I'm most grateful that we've stuck it out, that our commitment has lasted all of these years and we didn't give up. I think about the beautiful blessing of our family, that God has given us five beautiful, awesome kids. We've had the joy of watching them grow up and raise them and better than we deserve. Then I have nine incredible grandkids, and I even have a beautiful great-granddaughter that we get to enjoy. And I think if we would not have stuck it out, how that would be different, how it would look different. Some of you might not have even been born, maybe not any of you. And so I'm so grateful that God gave us that. I mean, it's God's will, so it would have happened somehow. But I'm just so grateful that we got to be part of that. also our life's work that we have dreamed together and we have had the same vision for. We've been able to see it unfold over the last 43 years in a miraculous way, the power of God. And this is God's church. He would build it with or without us. I understand that. But we would have missed out on the joy of seeing what believing in his promises looks like, how he's faithful.
You talk about shared vision, and it's something I learned much later in life, that shared vision and shared dreams actually can bond a couple in a way like nothing else can. And so when you say you've had a shared vision and shared dreams, Dad, could you talk a little bit about that?
In 1982, February of 1982, I was struggling with God because I knew I was called, but I couldn't find my place. And I was having a week of fasting and prayer, and I felt like the Lord's spoke to me. Not audibly, but he made me think some thoughts. And it was so awesome that I said to Shay, I think I've heard from God, but I don't trust my own ego. And I want you to pray and see if God will affirm to you what he said to me. And I said, I won't bring this up again for a week. I don't want it to taint you in any way. And a couple of days later, we were having coffee before I went to work. And Shay said, I think I heard from God. And without any prompting from me, she shared basically what I thought I heard from God. And so it's like we both heard the vision for this church from God.
Yeah, there's such a beautiful, I don't know, image in that because it's rare. I feel like that is a rare thing that you got to experience. Yeah. So what would you say to couples who maybe right now, this is the first time they're hearing this idea of a shared dream. What would you say to them about maybe how to start taking steps towards that?
I believe, first of all, I want to say I want to be an encouragement that flawed as we are, here we are, what God has done for us, and he can do it for you too. And I think you need to invite God into it. We couldn't have done it without God in the middle of all of it. And so you can, God speaks, you can have God speak to your heart and direct you and guide you in a way that you couldn't do it by yourself. And ego can get out of the way because I believe it's God's good plan to make us less selfish and more the way he wants us to be by being married and putting the other one before ourselves.
Knowing you well, you are very different people.
Yes, you're
hardwired very different. So, Mom, you are more gentle and you are a lady through and through. That's what I tell everyone. She is the most lady of ladies. You have a strength and a dignity about you. Dad, same. You do. You are strong and you are passionate and you're driven, but you have a rowdy and an ornery side about you. And so can you talk a little bit, like, my husband and I are very much the same. Jake and I are very much the same, where we're just built different. Could you talk a little bit about having a shared dream but being hardwired so different?
I like to think of a good relationship is like a circle. And if the two people are too much alike, you only have half the circle. But if they're different like we are, you get the whole circle. So as a team, we get Sharon's strengths on her side of the circle and my strengths on my side of the circle. And if we were too much alike, you don't get that fullness. You only get part of it.
I would also like to say, following up on that, that it can be tempting to try to change each other. Yeah. Especially me, I think. try to make each other who we think you should be or I should be. And it takes time and work to realize I need to let you be your authentic self and I can be my authentic self, and that's okay. We don't have to change each other. We need to complement one another.
We've talked about this, though, and you have been pretty open about how challenging that has been.
Yes, yeah.
You grew up a certain way,
yes,
with God and religion looking one way,
right,
and Dad brought a different twist to that.
Mm-hmm.
Could you talk a little bit about how your differences and maybe how you grew up and that struggle of what it looked like?
Well, I was a rule follower for sure, and I think Dad was a rule breaker.
Still is.
And I grew up a teetotal household where any kind of alcohol was considered the gravest of sin. And so I brought that into the relationship. And so I struggled with that, and we've had to work through those things. And now we've come to a different place in our life where we share the same values, and we have learned to grow with one another. With the things that used to separate us. Now I think it's more fun.
Yeah. A lot more fun. Okay, when you think about your relationship with God, mm-hmm, how do you think it has shaped the way you love each other?
Well, as we said, we struggle sometimes, and I can think of the last disagreement that we had maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. And in the past, I would be in despair. Sometimes, like, is this ever going to change? Are we going to ever get it right? It hurts so much. But the closer I draw to God, I recognize He's my portion. God is my portion. And
our Lamentations verse.
The Lamentations verse. It's one of my favorite. And I trust in Him. And so I go to God and more than I ever did. And I pray, Lord, instead of me saying, make Him see the way what I see. Make Him do the right thing. Make Him treat me right, which I used to pray.
And all the ladies said amen.
I was actually able to pray, Lord, help me see where I'm wrong. Help me see how I'm doing this incorrectly or disrespectfully, and help me have clarity. And that was the middle of the night. And when I woke up and I had my Bible reading for the day, I came upon this verse just in my regular Bible reading. I didn't look it up. And I thought it couldn't have spoke more clearly to my heart. It's Romans 15:5-6. It says, may the God of endurance and encouragement, which is what I needed. I needed to endure, and I needed encouragement. May He grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's my heart.
Yes.
We get to live in unity. There's nothing more peaceful and beautiful than when we live in unity. And neither one of us like it when we're not getting along. So my relationship with God has helped me move beyond just the selfishness of me. And it's bigger than me. It's more important than just me. And we want to, with one voice, glorify God. That's both of our hearts. Even
yes,
when we disagree, I go back to that. I try not to think the worst of Him. And hopefully He does the same for me. And not look at ourselves in our ugliest moments, but look at ourselves in our best moments. And that's who we want to be.
Dad, when you think of unity in a marriage, I know we've talked about this a little bit together. How do you think a man, as a man of God, can help bring unity into the marriage or into any relationship that he's part of?
I think being the spiritual leader of the home means I'm responsible to initiate. Mm. So a big mistake I made when we were younger is we would fuss, and then I would just ignore Sharon for 2 or 3 days.
Mm.
And
you're saying I get it from my dad.
Of course, that didn't help.
It was mutual, though.
That made things worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I am responsible to God to initiate.
Yeah.
It's my job to say, to try to get us back on track. It's my job to rebuild the bridges with apologies, or if the Holy Spirit prompts me, I'll just I'll kiss Sharon on the top of the head. As a way of...
That's what you're doing,
reconnecting. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So I believe if I'm going to be pleasing to God in my marriage, I'm the one who has to initiate. I can't let things go.
When you think of how God has put you together and this life you've built together, mm-hmm. what role do you think prayer has had in it? Oh. I think for so many people, there is a longing for intimacy, but you don't even realize what spiritual intimacy can do for a relationship. Mm-hmm. And so many people, I think it's a little awkward when you get started or mm-hmm. trying to do something that has been so personal or so private. So what has prayer done for you guys?
It's been everything for me. I don't talk to a lot of people about our problems and our position. It can be used against you. It can be weaponized against you, and it has been in the past. So I'm very protective of what I would say to anybody about us. We want to, and it's the right thing to encourage one another and say good things about each other to other people anyway. But that made me need God all the more. And so I have loved prayer walks. Prayer walks are my favorite thing, and I've been grieving this cold, icy weather where I can't get out and walk. But getting alone with God and crying to God and saying, Lord, here's my problems. You don't have to be brilliant or a theologian. You call on the Lord. You reach out to him, and he draws near to you, the Bible says. And pray what's on your heart and ask him to help shape how you think and be more like him and glorify him. And something always comes to my mind when I'm praying those prayers. It helps, like I said the other night, when I realized that we see things through different lenses, and in our background makes us have different things that trigger us, and we have to respect that in one another. God puts those things in my mind that I wouldn't have thought of, and he's done that all along with prayer. Because he wants us to work too. He wants us to succeed too, and he wants us to glorify him too. So he wants to help us. Those are prayers he wants to answer.
How about you? How do you think it shaped your relationship?
Well, every day I reach across the table and take Sharon's hand, mm-hmm. and I pray out loud.
How long have you been doing that for?
I'm not sure.
We've always prayed together at some point in the day, or we didn't always do it every single day, but more steadily now for the last 20 years or 30 years. I don't. With 53 years, yeah. It becomes
a lot of years to remember.
A lot of years to remember, yes.
And sometimes we pray about challenges we have. We pray for our kids, grandkids, and the most beautiful baby in the world.
Amen.
Sila.
And we, sometimes I pray that we can have spiritual qualities, that the Lord would enlighten the eyes of our understanding. Sometimes I pray that we can have peace and well-being. Mm-hmm.
I have a good example that just came to mind. When I had a bad car accident, two or three days after my 34th birthday, and you were 4 years old, and all your sisters were in the car with you. This was, I don't know how many years before Jay was born, but we had this terrible accident, which ended up, I lost my right arm. But the hardest thing about the accident really wasn't the loss of my arm. I was so thankful to God you guys lived, and because none of us should have lived. It was a total miracle that we escaped death. But it was the financial burden. The financial burden just about drove me over the edge. And we'd get bill collectors. We weren't making much money. And we had to pay like $300 a month to the hospital. The man that hit us was uninsured and indigent. And we were awarded some big reward in court. But, of course, we never got a dime out of it because he didn't work or anything. But so we had a big need. And so on the way, we would drive you to school every day. I don't know if you remember this. And Dad would initiate praying, the blessings of the Lord adds wealth and that he adds no trouble to them. So we had this big need, and instead of despairing, it was a comfort to come together and know. I mean, we didn't know it then. We learned it later that, man, God answers those prayers. And the blessings of the Lord adds wealth. We didn't immediately become millionaires or were rich or...
We're still not millionaires, Shay.
We're not rich by any means. But God has blessed over the years. And I can see, it occurred to me one day when it just came to my mind to pray that. And I thought, God has answered that prayer. Look at my children. Look at their husbands and their significant others. And look how God has blessed them. And God has answered that prayer. So that burden became an answered prayer many years later as I look back. And I didn't even notice it for a long time.
I love the idea of in the hardships, God's at the center.
Yes.
And I think that's something you have framed not only for us but for mm-hmm. this church, that mm-hmm. He is our first line of offense, that mm-hmm. going to Him is not secondary,
right.
Or, you know, you see all these things on social media, like, we don't need your prayers, we need your action. And
right.
it's like, well, then you don't understand the power
right.
of who we're talking to.
Right.
And so when you think about the love over these 53 years that you guys mm-hmm. have shared together, how do you think it has changed? How do you think you loved each other when you were younger versus how you love each other now?
When we were first married, we were only 18 and 19 years old. So we were just children with all these romantic ideas in our mind and what it would look like and just an exciting adventure. We moved 2 weeks after we got married and went to Bible college to prepare for this ministry. And it looked one way, but it wasn't until we had to go through life, you know, struggling for bills, going through traumas and tragedies, triumphs and joys, that our love was really forged into what it is today. So going through all of it helped us reach a more mature love, a more enduring love, and just a comfortable love that we can just enjoy each other's company. We don't have to do anything or say anything. We can sit comfortably together and just have that comfort of being together and the love that we share.
How do you think it's affected yours, like the difference from when you were an 18-year-old boy to who you are now?
Well, I believe Sharon's made me a better man than I would have been. When I was younger, things like peace, gentleness, and kindness, they weren't on my radar. they were just words. But sharing life together, through Sharon, I've come to see how valuable and important things like kindness and peace are. And so I actually love her better today mm-hmm. than I did when I was younger mm-hmm. because I love her with... qualities of the soul.
That's good.
I always joke because you have been very vocal about how beautiful mom is my entire life, inappropriately so. And now I am passing that on to my children.
Which I know they love.
Yeah, they love it. They love it. Okay, we talked before this and we said nothing was off limits except sex, which I thought, no problem.
Yes.
but one thing that I think so many parents can struggle with is when their kids grow through hard times. And maybe it's hard times that they never saw coming or didn't expect. And we've never talked about it publicly together. I've been mm-hmm. pretty vocal about it because God has been so incredibly good
yeah.
In my life. But I was pregnant with Lex as a teenager. And it changed all of our lives.
Yeah.
And one of the gifts of my life is the way you both loved me through it.
Mm.
And so not everybody is going to be having a teenage pregnancy with their kids, but mm-hmm. they might be struggling with mental health.
Yes.
They might be struggling with sexual identity.
Yes.
They might be struggling in ways that parents don't know how to relate to their kids. Yes. So what would be, I don't know, advice on how you two loved each other during that time and to a parent listening that's struggling?
Well, that's one time that we certainly came together and loved each other and we gave each other strength because it was hard. But my biggest advice is you love those kids no matter what. It is non-negotiable that you love, you don't punish them, you love them, you accept them, you encourage them, you you're there for them, and you model what love looks like, what forgiveness looks like, not judgment, but forgiveness, as Christ has done for us.
You were a treasure to me during that time because I tell everyone I lost a lot of my friends. Just life was so different. Yeah. But the way you loved me, you became my best friend.
Yeah.
And having a parent that offers that to you in your biggest struggle is medicine to the soul.
Yeah.
So I want to publicly thank you for your love, both of you, during that time.
That was not hard to do. You were have always been a delightful human that we're so proud of you.
Well, I don't know about all
and
that.
And how that all happened.
Dad, how what would you say to a parent?
I want to always, I want to face every life challenge with the model of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I want to look at the life of Christ and say, what did Christ do? What did Christ say? What did he teach? And when I look at the life of Christ, I see he's gracious. In our hardest times, he's gracious.
Yeah.
He always treats us better than what we deserve. He has a mercy for every misery of life. And because Christ has been so gracious to me, I want to follow that example. And in all these life challenges, I want to be gracious to others. When this happened, I felt brokenhearted. I felt like I had failed you in some way.
Yeah, definitely.
That you needed some love that, an attention that I had failed to give you. And I remember praying to God, help me to love my kids the way they need to be loved. So it's not just the parent and the child. It's the parent and Christ and the child.
Yeah.
I think, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just want to also say I want to publicly thank the church because it was a week of prayer. So many things in our life have happened.
Always is the week of prayer.
During the week of prayer. So we came together and we're praying. And Dad met with the elders because in churches we grew up in, that was something that could make them fire the
end
pastor.
Game, yeah.
So Dad said, you can say whatever you want to me. You say it here. You leave my daughter's off limits. So we were very protective of you. But they just stepped up to the bat with grace and love, and they treated you well through that, and it's helped you be the woman you are. I mean, look who you are today, and one of the treasures of my heart is my Lexi. I love her more than I can say, and I mean, God worked all these miracles they were wrapped in sorrow at first, but some of the joys of my heart, and how God used you and Lexi. And it might not have happened if the church would have been a different kind of church.
Yeah, I believe with all my heart, even some of how you guys were hardwired differently, it helped shape this church into who it was. Mm. And it is a church of grace.
Yes.
It doesn't exclude truth because I think the beauty of my situation was how many people came and loved us and wanted to mentor us.
Yes.
And so now mine and Jacob's life is so radically different because of the love and the grace and the truth.
Yes.
And it made me fall in love with the church.
Yeah.
It made me want to be a part of it forever.
Yeah.
You know? And so God definitely worked through that in a powerful way. And I think that's the hope for parents is God is not done working.
That's right.
And often in those hard times, we feel like it's over.
Yes.
But because of his goodness, because of his steadfast love, because of his faithfulness, it's not over.
That's right.
And I think that's where the prayer comes in and the getting on your knees for your kids.
Oh,
and
yes.
Yeah, I think community instead of hiding when your family's going through a hard time.
Yeah, good. That's good.
Can be incredibly changing for the family.
Yes.
What do you say about that?
I totally agree. There are some things you can keep private, but reaching out for
the safe
people to share the burdens of your heart with God uses those people to be a blessing to you and to encourage you and to help you through difficult times, whatever those times are.
Dad, you wanted to create a church for real people that could live out a real faith.
Yeah.
And so what does that mean to you to be able to have a community that you can do the hard things with?
Yeah, I really think it's one of the things, it's a part of our DNA as a church, that we say yes to hard things. We've done things that people told me, you'll ruin the church if you try to do that. The adventure of faith is not just a slogan. It's a way of living.
It's how to live.
Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We have to be doing things. We have to be trying things that if God doesn't help us, we'll fail.
Yeah.
It's the Bible example. All the great people in the Bible tried things that were impossible, but God glorified his name by showing up in those things. And I believe God has glorified his name in this church and is just starting to do what he's going to do.
Yeah,
I believe this is going to be a multi-generational church where God glorifies his name and people see that he is real, that God is still at work in the world in powerful ways.
Amen.
And he can use anybody.
Anybody.
That's right.
Okay, so when midweek is, we have a lot of young kids that watch and listen, 20-somethings. And if you could go back to your younger self, what is one thing you would tell yourself about faith and love?
I think I understood faith better than I did love. But one thing I would tell myself that's been evident in my older years is I needed to relax a whole lot more. I was such a perfectionist. Everything had to be just so. I would want to spend more time with playing with my kids instead of making sure they looked perfect. relaxing and trusting God and believing him for the incredible things that now we're on this side, we can look back and see, it's easy to have faith. It's easy to have faith. I've seen impossible miracles time and time and time again. But then we were just trusting God in a way that there was no example for us. We didn't see a model for us. We didn't have many people in our life encouraging us that it could be done. And we just trusted God, and I would want to continue to do that.
Yeah, I think I've seen you guys at the kitchen table with the Bibles. Dad's always had a chair, still has a chair.
Has a chair.
And you modeled for us that it's not an idea. It's not a concept.
Yes.
That the relationship with Christ is real.
Yes.
It's tangible. It's visible. Dad, what would you say to your 20-year-old self?
Well, the first thing I would say is soften. Have a softer voice. Speak more gently. Be kind. In the area of faith, I would say, just trust him for more. God is better than you think.
Yes.
He wants to do more than you've ever imagined.
Yeah.
Just trust him for more. Never give up on something out of a lack of belief.
Yeah.
Have courage.
Have courage.
Have courage. I love it. All right. What does it mean to you? This will be our last question. We'll wrap up. But what does it mean to both of you to finish well? What does that look like for your church and your family?
I had a good model. My mother, she died young, but she was a woman of faith. And I watched her die an incredible death that was a gift for me. That she was able to see something beautiful and her face just lit up. And I knew that she left her body and was with God. And I want to live the life that my kids can see what it looks like to love God, what it looks like to have faith, what it looks like to show grace. I have all kinds of faith that this church is going to be exactly what God wants it to be. Our prayers now are for the transition, which has begun. We've backed out quite a bit in order for the transition to take place. But I already see in this next generation, I have a lot of hope for the future, the faith that I see and the good work that I see and the anointing of God on your life that I see. Yeah.
Well, could I break that into two? Finishing well with Sharon means to me, and with you kids, if I die before Sharon, it would be a blessing if she says, "I wish you could have known my husband."
That's a done deal.
As opposed to some people, when they lose their spouse, it's a relief. Mm. It's like the pressure's off. Mm. It would be great for me if you kids could say, "You should have known my dad," as opposed to people who try to escape their family. So I wanna live the kind of life that my family feels good about having been in my family. For the church, finishing well means this transition, that we transition to the second generation of a multi-generational church. We have the Century Church vision that the decisions we make today affect this church 100 years from now. And so we need to be making decisions that enrich the church 100 years from now. Sarah, I want to speak to the young people who are here tonight. And I want to say, risk everything with God.
Yeah.
Don't hold back. Trust him with all of your life. The best things you'll ever have in life, they come from the riches of his heart and his character. Don't be deceived by the tricks of this generation. God is worthy of your very best.
Yeah.
He's worthy of your trust. He's worthy of your life. And I would encourage you to trust him without reservation.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Well, I can affirm both of you that you have done an amazing job. I think part of this is because I want everyone to know my mom and dad. I want them to know your love and your commitment and how it's shaped our life and how it's shaped this church, knowingly or unknowingly for people. But it has been a blessing to do this conversation with you twice, unfortunately.
Yes.
We had some filming issues earlier, but...
Yeah.
Thank you for your love. Thank you for your commitment.
Thank you.
And I hope you loved this as much as I love doing it, and I pray that God will be a blessing to your relationships. So before we go, I'm going to close in prayer.
Okay.
Dear Heavenly Father, you are our God.
Yes.
I thank you for a God like you.
Yes.
I thank you that you find us in our lost, in our brokenness, and you are the great physician, that you heal and you bind and you make use for your glory and your honor. And so my prayer is that everyone listening, Father, where there is loss of hope, I pray that you will fill it. Where there is a loss of relationship, Father, I pray that you will put a spirit of in them to fight. Father, I pray what is broken, you will bring together in only ways that you can. I thank you that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and my heart is so fully yours, Father. Yes. And I ask the same for all those who are listening. Will you be with them? Will they know you in the kind of way that changes their life? Mm-hmm. And will your name be known, Father, in us and through us? Yes. I love you so very much. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.